Game on 2FM with Green Farm. Get real with Green Farm's chicken and turkey range. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on with Marie Crowe and Ruby Walsh
on 2FM.
Come along, it is our Boyle Sports Cheltenham preview night, but first there is a lot of sports news to get through today. Captain Jonathan Sexton has been recalled to the Ireland team for Saturday's Guinness Six Nations Championship clash with England at Twickenham. Six changes from the Italy game: Bundy Aki, Andrew Conway and Hugo Keenan are drafted into the backs. Meanwhile, in the forwards, both Keane Healy and James Ryan return. In soccer news, Stephen Kenny faced the media, first time since he signed his new contract, and he says that he has a very clear goal in sight, and that is to bring Ireland to the Euros in 2024. While across the water, Roman Abramovich has his attempt to sell Chelsea has been halted after he was sanctioned by the British government as part of its response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Chelsea will be subject to a transfer ban and be blocked from negotiating new contracts with current players. Chelsea are in action tonight. They face Norwich at Carrow Road in the Premier League. And finally, in cricket, Cricket Ireland has revealed details of its first ever full-time professional contract for the Ireland women's team as part of a £1.5 million investment in the women's game. That is something we will definitely be looking at next week. But now we do have a lot to get through, and we will be focusing on Cheltenham for the next 40 minutes or so, and it's going to be a cracking week of racing by all accounts anyway. Our panel today is jockey Robbie Power, Leon Blanche of Boyle Sports, and for a Thursday treat we have Ruby. Ruby.
Don't know, is that a treat, Marie? I'd say people are probably turning off, sick of listening to that.
You must be at this stage now, right? We're a few days away from Cheltenham. You're probably going, oh God, I'm wrecked. I've got so much to do next week. And we're all going, Ruby, you're going to have the best time ever. It's going to be packed over there. It's going to be so much fun. People are going to be back out and about. Owners and trainers that haven't had that buzz of the crowd at Cheltenham for a couple of years are going to be loving every minute of it. So we've no sympathy for you.
No, I'm not looking for any sympathy. I can't wait to go. I was one of the lucky few that were there last year, Marie, when I pretty much had the whole place to myself, which was a unique experience, but one that I can say I had. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's cracking racing, big crowds, great atmosphere, plenty of enjoyment to be had, and there'll be plenty of disappointment along the way as well.
And you'll check in with us a bit, won't you?
I might, depends on if you're nice to me or not.
Right, okay, well, I'll remember that now for the next while. Leon, you'll be heading over as well?
I will indeed, Marie, yeah, going over Monday. Really looking forward to it. It's just fantastic, the amount of Irish people that I've been talking to or making the trip over. They love it. It's Ireland versus England. It's a huge rivalry. And I think Ireland is going there with a really, really strong squad once again. So we should definitely get more winners than the English, which is always a nice achievement.
That's for sure. Okay, let us get straight into it because we have...
I love the way Leon says, yeah, it's Ireland versus England, as if the Irish aren't trying to beat the Irish. Can you imagine Willie and Gordon standing thinking, all right, Gordon, you have this one. Yeah, I'll have the next one. This is Ireland v Ireland, then v England.
Oh, yeah, well, look, absolutely. There's no love lost between any trainers. They want to win. That's what it's all about. It's a competitive environment. And I think when you look at the squad of horses that Willie's got, that Gordon's got, that Henry de Bromhead's got, that are plenty of Gavin Cromwell's got, we should get plenty of winners, Murray.
Yeah, and I think even if you look at the first race on Tuesday, the Sky Bet Supreme Novices Hurdle, Robbie, like even the depth in that race is pretty impressive.
Yeah, good evening, Marie. As Ruby said, there's going to be a lot of disappointments, and the first race is a prime example of that. There's a lot of highly thought of horses, Constitution Hill, Kilcrush, Sir Gerhard, Mighty Potter. It's a very, very strong race, and a lot of bubbles are going to be bursting it.
Yeah, for sure. And Ruby, I know that there's so much conversation about what Willie's going to do with Sir Gerhard and Dicer Dynamo. Are you going to let us in?
No, I'm not going to let you in because I don't know. And thankfully, I don't have to ask anymore, Marie. It doesn't bother me which way to go. I don't have to think about riding one or the other. But look, Paul Townend will have a big say too. With whatever Paul and Willie feel between them is what they'll decide. Look, Sir Gerhard is favoured for both. You know, of the two horses, he probably looks like the one that might find it easier to go to 2.5 miles. But I think either might win this race, but whichever one does defect and go to Wednesday is more likely to win that race. So it's a big call for William Paul to have to make. And, you know, Robert has mentioned there the bubbles that could be burst, not to mention John Bonn, who cost a fortune. He's Duvan's brother. I've been really impressed with him, but like, there is going to be a lot of bubbles burst here because there's only going to be one winner.
And Leon, who will it be?
It's very hard to call, Marie. Look, we're our first offer of Cheltenham is Money Back All Losers in this race, and it's a race. It could be the race of the festival. As Ruby said, it's up to Willie Mullins to split up his two stars in this particular race. He's still got Kilcrush in there. I've been impressed with Constitution Hill. I've been a little bit worried about the form of Nicky Henderson's stable. I know he hasn't been running a lot of the stars, but his strike rate is pretty poor since Ascot. However, Constitution Hill has done nothing wrong. He looked very good in the Tolworth, and it's going to be a difficult race, but I do like the look of him. This could be the first one to the English, unfortunately, but I think Dysart Dynamo and John Bond are two horses. If you fancy them, watch how they act. Let's see how the preliminaries, because it's going to be a lot of people, a lot of noise. The two of them can be a little bit buzzy, so let's see how they act. If you want to back them, I'd be waiting to see how they go down to the start.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be that race that's just going to get it all off to a brilliant start. Okay, let's move on, Robbie. So we have the Sporting Life Arkle Novices Chase, and Edward Stone seems to be taking a lot of people, taking a lot of people's interest. But there's a really strong Irish contingent there as well.
Yeah, there is Magic Days and Riviera de Tell and Blue Lord for a new rivalry again. Edward Stone has been flawless this season. He's been foot perfect. He was a very good winner to Henry VIII in Sandown. And he's obviously a much better chaser than he was a hurdler. I think he's probably one of the English bankers. I don't think there's a standout among the Irish ones. They've been beating each other this season. And I think this one, if Edward Stone and Constitution Hill get bet in the first two races, it could be a long week for the Brits.
Will you be on Magic Days, Robbie?
I don't know yet. Nothing's been confirmed yet, so I don't know. Henry, I don't know if he'll run two in the race or not, so nothing's been confirmed yet.
Ruby, for you, of the Irish contingent, who stands out?
It's difficult. I mean, the three of the four prominent Irish horses are all five-year-olds, Marie. The last five-year-old to win the race was in 2006, was Vipura Steadies, but he had a £5 weight for age allowance then that doesn't exist anymore, and since that weight allowance has been removed, the five-year-olds have found it difficult to beat the older horses. Blue Lord is a seven-year-old. I thought he was slightly lucky to win at Leopardstown, so you're looking for something maybe at a bit of a price to give them a go. I don't even know if there is one there. Edward Stone is the solid English horse, and if you've got a chance, a five-year-old, maybe Hawthorne Colour or St. Sam at 7 and 8 to 1 each way, it might be a bet.
Leon, the champion hurdle Honeysuckle, is there any argument for anyone else?
There's always an argument for something else, Marie, because plenty of odds on favourites get beaten at Cheltenham. She is a superstar. I think it would bring the house down, obviously, if she was to win at Cheltenham. She gets the £7 mare's allowance. Now, on official rating, she's rated 165. If you look at the second favourite, Appreciated, who we haven't seen since being very impressive winning the Supreme Novices last year, his official rating is 160. So just on maths, that means he's got to nearly improve £12 to beat her. It'll be a training performance of all time, I think, if Willie Mullins can get this fella to win for his first run of the season. Robbie will probably be on board Tihapu, who was very good last time out at Goran Park. I think Appreciated and Tihapu are the two unexposed horses in the race, but I think it's going to be very hard to give a mare of that calibre £7 and win.
Ruby, I heard Barry Gertie talking about Appreciated a couple of days ago and was making a really, really strong argument.
Yeah, and I could see why, Marie, but I think the strong argument for him was when there was value in his price at 5, 6 to 1 each way. It was a bet to nothing because it's very hard to see him being out of the first three. Now at 7 to 2, would you be as confident about him? Well, he has to go and beat Honeysuckle if you're going to get a return at that price. So, look, he's in great form. He was a very good novice last season. He was due to go chasing, but he picked up an injury. He can't be any better, but Leon has hit the nail on the head. Like, the handicapper, and they're pretty good judges, handicappers, has to be 12. £12 wrong here. They might be £3, £4 wrong at times, but they're rarely that far out. And you know, Honeysuckle looks rock solid. She can make the running. She can sit handy. She always travels wide, so she never runs into trouble. She's stamina. She's pace. She's won, gone to the races 14 times and delivered 14 times. I mean, you pick. I don't know where you pick the hole on her. I think she's going to be very hard to beat.
Well, maybe you can tell us, Robbie, because you will be on Tiapoo. So what are you going to do to try and beat Honeysuckle?
I don't know. It's very hard to pick holes in a mare that's unbeaten. Got to give her £7. Tiapoo and Appreciated both have to improve ahead of a lot. They are open to improvement. We can't really get a gauge on how good Tiapoo is because his homework is just very ordinary. He just does what he has to do at home. He does nothing flashy. He's the same in his races, but he is improving. And he needs to improve a bit more to trouble Honeysuckle. It's going to be a good race. I think this is the toughest task Honeysuckle has faced with Appreciated and Tiapoo taking her on. So it'll be interesting to see how she fares out. Her form this year, I wasn't overly impressed with her in the Irish Champion Hurdle, but Henry will have her bang on in Cheltenham and she's going to be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Ruby, the Mayor's Hurdle, very open race again. Stormy Ireland. Is Cheltenham a track that suits Stormy Ireland?
I think it probably is, Marie. She won on the new course on New Year's Day when she won the Rel Keel Hurdle, beating Mac Fabulous. She's run in the Mayor's Hurdle a couple of times in the past, but in renewals than this one. So I think she's got a great chance. She's an 8-year-old. Obviously, Tell Me Something Girl is favoured, who's for Henry de Bromhead, Kelly Alexander and Rachel Blackmore. So it could be a magic hour in Cheltenham for them on Tuesday afternoon were she to win. But I think last year's novices have a bit to improve to get up to the standard of the older mares. I think Queen's Brook is a chance, Stormy Ireland and the other filly, Willie's Burning Victory. If you're pushing me, I'd probably go with Stormy Ireland. I think she just has the best overall form at the moment and she's quite a decent price at 11-2.
Leon, would you agree?
It's a very hard race, Marie, to try and pick a winner, and that's why the favourite is trading around 11-4, 3-1. So it's a very, very tricky race. It looks as if Royal Kahala is not going to go in this race. She's going to go to the Stayers Hurdle, and by all accounts, Peter Fahey, they've kind of decided that unless we get a deluge of rain. But so she's a big player taken out. I'd give a little bit of a squeak to Heaven Help Us. She was a winner last year of the Coral Cup. She has good form tied in with Tell Me Something Girl. Yes, Tell Me Something Girl was giving her a couple of pounds at Leopardstown. However, I just think Cheltenham, the way she won last year, was fabulous for Paul Hennessy. And I think at 12-1 in a wide open Mayor's Hurdle, I'd be playing safe and playing each way.
Robbie, let's move on to Wednesday and the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. Ruby's not telling us what Willie's going to do with Sir Gerhardt and Dysart Dynamo. Is it a case of whoever is in this one is going to win it?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. And I agree with what Ruby said earlier on. I think it is more likely that, in my own opinion, I don't know, but I think it's more likely that Sir Gerhardt is the one that's going to step up. And if he turns up in this race, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. There's not a whole pile of strength and depth to it. Paul Nicholas's horse was a good winner of a grade one, although a very weak grade one in Stage Star in Newbury. So it's not the strongest renewals of the race. I think Sir Gerhardt, if he turns up here, will definitely be very, very hard to beat.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see how that one plays out. Ruby, so the Browns Advisory Novices Chase, Brave Man's Game, brilliant jumper. Is there a fear that a Hoy Senor might outstay him?
There is, Marie, and also the fear with Brave Man's Game is the one that you could apply to John Bonn and Dysart Dynamo in the first race. It's their demeanour. I mean, Brave Man's Game got very worked up at Cheltenham last year when there was nobody there. What's it going to be like from this year with 70,000 people? I was in Newbury for his last start on the 12th of February. It was a pretty cold day and the sweat was running off Brave Man's Game. So he has to prove to me that mentally he's going to be able for the job, the task at hand as well. L'Empressé has been very impressive, albeit at shorter distances all winter, winning at Sandown in his last start. He won the Dipper in Cheltenham in January. He was good at Ascot before Christmas. He's a low, slick jumper. And Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch are having an incredible season. And then you have a Hoy Senor. I just wish a Hoy Senor was learning to jump a bit quicker than he has been learning. It's taken him a while for the penny to drop. He's a horse with a huge engine, but I think it could be next year before we see the best of him jumping-wise.
Leon?
I'm going to go with Venetia Williams and L'Empressé. He's done absolutely nothing wrong. He's 4 from 4 this season. He has an official rating of 154, so he's only rated £2 below Brave Man's Game. I still can't get that out of my head last year, Marie, when Brave Man's Game was well and truly put in his place in the Ballymore by Bob Olinger. I don't think the hill will suit him, and I would definitely be favouring Venetia Williams horse at the prices as well. I think Brave Man's Game is too short.
OK, Robbie, let's move on to the Queen Mother Champion Chase. All eyes will be on Shishkin. Is Shakunpour Swat the one to beat him?
Yeah, he could be. It's going to be another great renewal with Shakunpour Swat and Energamine taking on Shishkin again. I wouldn't rule out Noob Negra for a place. I think he's definitely got a place chance. But if Shakunpour Swat turns up in England like he does in Ireland, he's a different proposition. He hasn't just showed his Irish form on English soil yet, which is a bit disappointing, but it's going to be a great renewal. I think Energamine, I can't see him replacing or reversing the form with Shishkin. A lot of things went wrong for Shishkin and Ascot. He made a couple of mistakes. It was going right-handed. He's definitely a better horse going left-handed. Energamine had softer ground and was going right-handed, so a lot of things were in his favour. I think Shishkin will confirm form with Energamine. But Shakunpour Swat, he could be the one if he turns up on English soil, which he hasn't done yet. That's the big worry. Interesting to see what Ruby says, but I think, will they try something different with Energamine this time? Because if they don't, if they do decide to try something different, there's not a lot of pace in this race.
Ruby?
No, there's not a lot of pace in the race, but the one thing about Nico de Boinville, who rides Shishkin, is Nico keeps things very simple. There wasn't much pace in his novice chase at Aintree last year after he'd won the Arkell, and Nico picked it up with a circuit to race at Aintree. Nico's not afraid to go forward in this horse. He knows exactly what he's riding. So a bit like Honeysuckle, Shishkin isn't tactically reliant on being ridden one way. He doesn't require luck. He just jumps out and goes, and if you're going a really good gallop, he'll sit behind you, and if nothing goes on, he'll make the running. And I think Shishkin is just so straightforward. He's a strong stayer, he's a good jumper, jumps a bit to his left. He'll be even better at Cheltenham than he was at Ascot. So I think it's very hard for Willie's two horses to beat him. As for Shakunpour Swat, I think Willie's trying to keep him a bit fresher going to Cheltenham this year. He maybe hasn't worked him as hard as he did last year to see if that works, but I still can't forgive him for not winning last year. I thought he got an unbelievable run off the home turn. He pinged the second last. He landed in front. Paul Townend wanted him for 2.5 furlongs and he couldn't deliver. Shakin, I'm afraid, has to build a bridge with me anyway.
Willie was saying in his stable tour, all right, that he had been doing things really a little bit different with him. Is that just giving him a little bit more rest?
No, yeah, maybe not working him as hard, Marie, trying to keep him a bit fresher. He is a bit older, he's 10 now. You know, he's an autograph, got through the winter, so it's just trying something different, Marie, trying the same thing the whole time and not succeeding. That's the definition of madness or stupidity or something, anyway.
Right, so anyone who has been listening to Game On for the last week or so will have heard the Tiger Roll documentary, The People's Horse, episode 4, is up later on, so stay tuned for that. Leon, do you think that we're going to get a Tiger Roll fairy tale in Cheltenham this week?
I want to. It'll be absolutely fantastic, Marie. He's been a horse of a lifetime. By all accounts, he worked very well at Leopardstown. The rain looks as if it's going to stay away, because I think if it's good ground, he's got an unbelievable chance. If any rain comes, it might just put paid to his chances of winning the cross country again. The other horse, Delta Work, he has a bit of graded formery, grade one form, and by all accounts, he took to the cross country obstacles when he went over to Cheltenham. I think if he runs to anywhere like he could be a big danger to a stable companion, but I just love to see Tiger Roll win. It looks as if he's going to get his ground, and it would just be a fantastic story for racing.
Yeah, Robbie, imagine 70,000 people or however many would be there, and the reception Tiger Roll would get.
Yeah, and he deserves it. He's entitled to it. He's going for a 6th Cheltenham Festival win, and I think he will win, provided the ground stays good. If the ground gets soft, he will sulk and he won't go on it. I don't think there's home, but kind of strength and depth to the race. Easy's Land, who beat Tiger before, opposed again, but he was disappointing on his first run for John O'Neill. So there's not huge strength and depth, but Delta Work has schooled very well over the banks, but horse's first time in the cross country race, have a bad record around Cheltenham, so I'd be going all in with Tiger Roll.
Yeah, hopefully it would be great, and a nice little sequel then for our documentary as well. That's been on all week. Ruby, the Wetherby's Champion Bumper, I know that you're a pretty big fan of Fasal Vega. Exceptional and just seems to have so much natural ability.
He seems to have, Murray, but there does seem to be plenty of strength and depth here as well, and a bit like the Supreme, there's going to be a few bubbles burst here. What they're going to be, I don't know. I hope it's not Facile Vegas, but look, I think he's been very good in his two runs at Leopardstown so far. You can crab the form of his win at the Dublin Racing Festival. Sandor Clegane has subsequently been beaten, but I think that was a bit of a sprint he got beaten in at Naas, so I don't think it played to Sandor Clegane's strengths, but Facile Vegas couldn't do any more than he's done. I had some great days at Cheltenham on his mum, Cui Vega, and I hope Facile Vegas does the same. But American Mike's a very good horse, so is Redemption Day. If you're a fan of a pint of Guinness, you have to go with James's Gate. And if you're, you know, mad enough to watch all of Cheltenham, maybe Madman's Game is the one for you. But it's a really strong renewal, and I do like Facile Vegas, but he's going to have to be what we think he is to win this.
Sure, what else are you going to be doing next week now except watching the whole of Cheltenham? Okay, we are going to take a very quick break, but stay with us because we'll be back with Thursday and Friday after this.
RTE 2FM. Game on. On 2FM with Green Farm. Rise and grind and the hustle mindset aren't real. The protein in our chicken and turkey is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Racing.
Now, welcome back to our Boyle Sports Cheltenham preview. Leon Blanche is with me in studio. We're also joined by jockey Robbie Power, and Ruby Walsh is here, and I'm putting him to work for a change as well, which is very enjoyable. Ruby, so Thursday we have the Turners Novices Chase. Bob Ollinger and Galopin Deschamps, is that the matchup of the week?
Work, Marie. No League of Ireland, no Camogie, no hurling. You're telling me this is work? This is simple. This is like no homework. This is just incredible. I know what competitions are on and everything. I got to find it hard to sound stupid.
I've been studying for 2 days for this now. Two full days.
You know how I feel every day. Onto the Turners Novice Chase. It looks like it's going to be a match. Bob Ollinger versus Galopin Deschamps. Galopin Deschamps versus Bob Ollinger. Obviously, Bob Ollinger was an incredible novice hurdler. He was brilliant here last year when he beat Gaillard de Menil in the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. He's had two runs over fences and he's been good on both starts. Beat Capodanno in Punchestown. Galopin Deschamps wasn't quite the novice hurdler Bob Ollinger was, but he did round it off with a very good win at Punchestown in a Grade 1 when he beat Gentleman's Game. But he has possibly improved since he's gone chasing. He attacks his fences. He loves what he's doing. He gets quicker going to his fences, whereas you could argue maybe Bob Ollinger gets a little bit slower as he's approaching them. So I think the balance has swung towards Galopin Deschamps. I know I'm in the Willie Mullins camp, but my 2 feet are definitely in the Galopin Deschamps camp here.
Robbie, would you agree?
No, I'm going the other way. I think Bob
so we like to hear.
Galopin Deschamps has been very, very impressive in his two starts. He took my breath away in Leopardstown at Christmas, and again he was good at the Dublin Racing Festival. Bob Ollinger got the job done in Gorn and then was much better in Punchestown. I schooled with him after racing around Navan a couple of weeks ago, and his jumping was absolutely brilliant. I know it's only a schooling session, but you couldn't have faulted his jumping, and he's a horse with an awful lot of gears. I think Galopin Deschamps will go a good gallop, and it'll play to the strengths of Bob Ollinger, who'll just track away, and I think he'll have more toe than up the hill.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be a great matchup. Leon, the Ryanair Chase, Alaho, rock solid. Is there any... I know you say there's always an argument, but...
Yeah, I mean, Marie, he looks rock solid. I mean, he put in one of the best performances at Cheltenham last year under Rachel Blackmore. She booked him out in front and he attacks his fences. He went a relentless gallop. He just put them all to the sword and they couldn't go with him. He's a 6-4 on favourite. If you don't like backing those, we're giving you money back second or third to the starting price favourite in every single race. So I think you've got to look at something with a little bit of value. Maybe Shan Blue could be the one to chase him home, or maybe even Janadil. Trained by Willie Mullins, but I think they're all playing for second and third because I think Alaho, barring an accident, he wins, Murray.
Okay, Robbie, that's pretty definitive there from Leon. So let's move on to the
Paddy. Hang on a second, just before we move on. There's just bad news this evening, actually. David Russell has been confirmed to ride Conflated in the Ryanair. So he's obviously going here instead of the Gold Cup. That was only confirmed there in the last half an hour. So Conflated does become a runner in this race. He was a good winner of the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. And if he brings that form to the Ryanair, he's definitely the one you want to be backing to chase Alaho home. And he could conceivably give him a race.
Okay, Ruby with the breaking news there.
Oh, Oh, well, I mean, he's a massive player, Marie. I think a lot of people were thinking he'd go for the Gold Cup on the Friday, but if he's in the Ryanair now, he's definitely going to be a big runner, because there was absolutely no fluke about him at Leopardstown. He won well and did it the hard way from the front.
Right, that makes it very interesting indeed. Robbie, the Paddy Power Stairs hurdle. So you've Champ, Flooring Porter, Classical Dream, Paisley Park. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's very hard to get a handle on the stairs hurdle. It's wide open. I thought Flooring Porter ran a very good race at Christmas, when second to Classical Dream. Has gone straight to Cheltenham again like he did last year. Different for Flooring Porter this year with 70,000 people there. There was no one there last year. He's a highly strong horse. If he handles that occasion with the crowd, I still think he's going to be hard to beat. Classical Dream has to redeem himself. He blew out in Gore on the last day. He was a good winner at Christmas. He is without doubt the classiest horse in the race, but he just can run a little bit keen as well, and settling him mightn't be the easiest thing in the world for Paul Townend. And Paisley Park bounced back to form the last day, even though he spun around the start and gave away about 10 or 15 lengths. So if he jumps off with them, he's a big player in the race. Emma Lavelle seems to be very happy and says he's back to his best form. But I shall put my neck on the line. I just think Flora Porter is the one still.
Ruby, what do you reckon, just given the fact that the crowd is going to be there and Flooring Porter lives off his nerves a little bit?
He does, and Classical Dream lives on the edge every bit as much as him. You know, and I think the start of this race is going to be fascinating, trying to get the two of them across in front of the Best Mate enclosure at 3:30 on Thursday afternoon, with plenty well lubricated fans roaring out over the rail at them, will be pretty entertaining. I've actually, you know, Marie, at this stage probably tipped every runner in this race at some stage or another, but I'm coming down on the side of Champ the closer I get to the race, and the more the positive vibes I'm hearing from Nicky Henderson's camp about Champ, I think he's a very good horse in his day, and I liked him at Ascot, and I'll probably side with him at 5-1.
Well, if you've came down the side of pretty much every one of them, you're going to get it right somewhere anyway, Ruby.
Just keeps, you know, I mean, throw enough muck, Marie, something might stick eventually.
Leon, the Parnell Properties Mares Novices Hurdle. Dino Blue, very impressive last time out. What do you reckon?
Yeah, she was. She was very good last time out, but Brandy Love, Marie, when she ran at Fairy House going right-handed, I think definitely going left-handed at Cheltenham will be a huge plus to her chances. Willie Mullins has got the first three in the betting, so I think this race is going to go to Close Sutton. It's about trying to pick which one you think. I'm going to give Brandy Love one more chance. I just think, Marie, she gave up so much ground at Fairy House and she was still closing on the winner, Allegory de Vassy, who's third favourite in this particular race. I think she was beaten by 3.5 lengths, so I'm going to give Brandy Love a chance to redeem herself in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle.
Robbie?
Yeah, I think back on left-handed, Brandy Love was very good in Ace when she won first of all the hurdles and threw the race away in Fairy House the last day. I think she'd be very, very hard to beat. Party Central is a mare that's improving. I know she would have handicapped the last day, and this is a big step up in class. And I ride a mare in this called Say Goodbye, who I think the track will suit her. She's a huge price. She's only got a length and a quarter to find with Party Central. And Party Central is 5-1, and she's about 40-1. So I think for anyone having a small few quid and one each way, I think Say Goodbye is a good each way chance in a wide open race.
And Ruby, what about Night and Day?
Yeah, I just think you're looking for one of the big prizes. She's never run, but neither had Concertista when she came here, Marie, a couple of years back. Night and Day is still a maiden. I think it's very hard to see her winning, but at a huge price each way, you never know, you could get lucky.
Well, I like the sound of that, Ruby. Okay, let's take a very quick break. Stay with us though, we do have Day 4 to come.
RTE 2FM on 2FM with Green Farm. Get real with Green Farm's chicken and turkey range. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Racing.
Now, welcome back to our Boyle Sports Cheltenham preview. Leon Blanche is with me in studio and Robbie Power is on the line along with Ruby Walsh. Now, we are on the final day. We are making up good ground today in this preview, that's for sure. So, Ruby, let's start with the JCB Triumph Hurdle. It doesn't seem like there's much between Pied Piper and Vabon.
There's not, Marie. About a half a length, actually, if you go back to Punchestown when they clashed in a maiden hurdle on New Year's Eve. Was the case that day that maybe Vauban could have got out in the shorts room, but he didn't. Pied Piper came out on top. Pied Piper went to Cheltenham and absolutely bolted in there at the end of January. Vauban went to the Dublin Racing Festival where he was good when he beat Field Or. There's not much between them. Vauban is a speedy horse and so is Pied Piper, but the Triumph Hurdle is running the new course in Cheltenham, which is quite a stiff track, and they might be open to being to be beaten by a stronger stayer. That could be Field Or, who had looked rock solid prior to Dublin Racing Festival. But I like one of the price here, Marie. I like Yolette de Tomp of Willie Mullins's. I thought his first run at Leopardstown was a cracking run behind Vauban, and for a hurdling debut, for a hurdling debut, that was an unbelievable run. And I think at a big price, he's a great shout each way.
Leon?
Yeah, look, it's a cracking race. As Ruby said, it's on the new course, so you need to stay. I remember Gordon Elliott was talking about Field Or after Leopardstown, saying that Cheltenham will suit him an awful lot more because he does see him as a real stayer in the making. Interesting to hear Ruby's comments about that horse of Willie Mullins, Ilite Tomp. I think it's around about a 12 or 14 to 1 chance now at the present time. If I had to pick one out of Vauban or Pied Piper, I'd probably go with Pied Piper because Vauban jumped a good bit to his right the last day. However, it's not a race I'll be having a bet in, Marie. I'll just be sitting back and watching it.
Sounds good. Robbie, the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle, is there anyone not in the Hillcrest camp?
No, he's been very impressive in all he's done this season. And obviously with Manila Crooner coming out, it's opened the race up a little bit. I thought Danny was brilliant on Manila Crooner, if I got them the right way around, at the Dublin Racing Festival. It's a wide open race. I just kept thinking that Gordon would come here with Ginto. I thought Ginto, this was the race for Ginto, but he's going to go the other way, and I thought if Ginto turned up here, he'd be very, very hard to beat.
He's going here, puppy, isn't he?
He said the other day he was going for the 2 mile five race.
I think when Manila Crooner came out, there was talk of Ginto switching back here, and he's gone favourite, actually.
Well, I think if Ginto goes here, I think Ginto will take all the beating because he's a really, really strong stayer. He's had to make the run on his two starts that he's won this season. In Nace and the Lawlers over 2.5, and I think he's going to be a better horse over 3 mile. I think he's crying out for this trip.
Ruby, I know you're a fan of Hillcrest.
I am a fan of Hillcrest, but I was a big fan of Hillcrest till Ginto jumped into the picture. And I do agree with Robert. I think stepping up in trip is a real plus for Ginto. He battled well to beat Grand Jury in the Lawlers Hotel Novices Hurdle at Nace on the 2nd of January. He's a strong stayer and he's a horse with a huge future. Both Hillcrest and Ginto are two really exciting horses going forward. I would have been strongly in the Hillcrest camp, but I'm a little less certain or about my conviction, Marie, now that Ginto's in the picture.
Right, you've been swayed, Ruby. Robbie, the Gold Cup. We will see you, I hear.
Yeah, hopefully.
Are you a little bit nervous now that Conflated runs in the Ryanair and Jack might have no ride, or are you absolutely sure you're going to be there?
I haven't been told I'm not riding them yet, so if I'm told I'm not riding them, I'm there. So I don't know. Obviously, with Conflated going the other way, I don't know what's happening now, but hopefully, I thought you ran a good race at the Dublin Racing Festival, and then hopefully I'll get going in the Gold Cup.
Right, that is Manila Indo you're talking about there. So are you feeling confident about it?
Yeah, you'd have to be. Look, I thought his run in the Irish Gold Cup at the Dublin Racing Festival was arguably better than his run at last season. He's not the first horse to disappoint in the King George and then come back and win or run well in the Gold Cup. So his former in Cheltenham, he's only been beaten the once. It's second to none. You know, it's very, very hard to fault him. He obviously improves 7 or 10 pounds when he goes over there, but this is a competitive Gold Cup. It's a wide open Gold Cup. Absolute tired from the same stable as a Big Danger. Album Photos going the familiar path he always goes, and he's a Big Danger, dual Gold Cup winner. And throw in Galvin as well. You know, it's a cracking renewal of the Gold Cup, and I think Galvin could be the Big Danger to Manel Indo.
Ruby?
I think it's a great race. I think it's going to be tactically fascinating to watch. You have Galvin, Manila Indo and Album Photo, who are all really strong stayers. But what you don't have in this Gold Cup, Marie, is front runners. There's no confirmed horses to jump and go and make this a real test of stamina. I know all three of those will want to test the stamina, but they're not really front runners. Manila Indo doesn't do a whole lot in front. Galvin has never made the running, and neither has Albion Photo. So someone's going to have to try something different to play to their own strengths. But it's a big occasion and a big day to try something new on one of these horses. But someone's going to have to do something. I think it's going to be fascinating to see which one of them does go, be it Davey, Puppy or Paul Townend. But, you know, they're going to have to try and make this a test in search of stamina. I thought a Plutar was brilliant at Haydock. I don't think he got the bounce of the ball at Leopardstown. I think if Rachel Blackmore was to ride that race again, she would do things differently, and that would reverse the form of Galvin. So I think a Plutar is the one I think will win the race. If you were offering me a ride, or if I wanted to ride it, he'd be the one I might be trying to get on. But it's a great race, and I just think he was 7 last year, he's 8 now. I don't think he jumped brilliantly in last year's Gold Cup either at Plutar, and I think if he puts it together, he'll be hard to beat.
Leon, do you agree?
Well, he's coming here extremely fresh. He obviously skipped the Dublin Racing Festival. As Ruby said, he did make a couple of mistakes last year. I had him backed myself last year, so I was cursing him coming up the hill, but he stayed really well. He chased Manila Indo all the way, but Manila Indo jumped exceptionally well. If you look at Manila Indo, he probably ran better in this year's Irish Gold Cup compared to last year. I think the Irish are going to have at least a 1-2-3 here, Marie. We've won 5 of the last 6 runnings of the Gold Cup. When you look at the English Challenge, you've got Protectorate, who was good, beating pretty average field at Aintree, and then you're looking down to try and find something else. So I think Ireland is going to dominate it. It's a fascinating race, and if I had to pick one now, I'm probably hopeful that Robbie can win it on Manila Indo.
Yeah, that's a great call, Leon, but you've probably been a little bit blasé with Protectorate. I mean, he's coming from being placed in the Paddy Power. Long Run got beat in the Paddy Power the year he won the Gold Cup, and he then went to Aintree and absolutely routed Nader River. So I don't think Protectorate's a back number if you're looking for one at a price, and I'd be surprised if Ireland have a 1-2-3. I think Protectorate will get in there and spoil that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to go Ireland 1-2-3. I just struggled to see. I take your point, Ruby. He was very, very good. He's obviously got to step up a little bit more. What's it, an extra 1.5 furlongs up that Cheltenham Hill? It'll be interesting to see how he runs, but I still think Ireland will have a 1-2-3.
Okay, Ruby, the Mrs. Paddy Powers mare's chase before we finish up.
Yeah, look, I think Ellie May was unlucky in the race last year. She was hugely inconvenienced by Col Reavy jumping to her right. She got on the wrong side of her and Col Reavy held her off. I think the application of cheap pieces worked well in her the last time in Ace. And I think she can make a tone for her near miss last year.
Leon.
I'm going to go with Concertista, yeah. I think she's been very, very good. This year she was very good. Especially, I was hugely impressed with her performance at Limerick. I know it was heavy ground. She does have a little bit of form on a bit better ground. So you'd be hopeful that there might just be a little bit of give for her. But she really impressed me last time out, Marie, so I'm going with Concertista.
Okay, we're nearly out of time, but before we finish up, I do want to get a bet from everybody for the Irish Injured Jockeys Fund. And Leon, if you just want to tell us a little bit just why this is so important.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's probably the only sport in the world, and the two lads will tell you more than I did because I've never ridden a horse, but it's the only sport in the world where 2 ambulances follow them around every single race. They're tremendous men and women, and unfortunately injuries do happen, so we're going to try and raise some much needed funds. It's a fantastic cause. Ruby has worked very, very closely with the Irish Injured Jockeys Fund, so we're going to give the lads a €200 charity bet each to try and raise some much needed funds, because they're always trying to raise money, and you'd wish sometimes that a little bit more could be done for them.
Okay, well, over to you guys then. Robbie first.
I'm going to go first race, first day, get it over and done with. Constitution Hill, I think, is the most solid in the Supreme Novices Hurdle. I'll have the 200 on the nose.
Very good. Ruby?
And I'm going to wait till Friday and have 100 each way on Ilete Tomp at 14-1, I think Leon said he was.
Yeah, I'll give you 14-1 for that, Ruby. And I'm going to throw in Marie as well, a 200 win, Frontal Assault, running in the last race on
Thursday.
on St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully it'll be a good day for the Irish on St. Patrick's Day. So I think Frontal Assault could have a big chance, 200 on the nose.
Absolutely. And hopefully it'll be a great week for the Irish in Cheltenham. Well, either way, anyway, I think it's going to be a great week of racing. Anyone that is off next week, I'd say we'll have a brilliant time either over there or sitting down and watching it for the day. Leon, Robbie and Ruby, thank you so much for joining me. Robbie, best of luck next week over there. Ruby and Leon, enjoy it. All the fun you're going to have. We're not jealous at all. That's all we have time for this evening.